Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts this month on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all clear to know the truth. Well, we are back from another long summer hiatus here. We will be talking again before too long, and shoot, it seems like in just about a month here we'll have a new episode of the show to be talking about as well. But for now, we will be talking about some of the news we've heard, going over some other things that came out of Comic-Con, some other merchandising elements. What else we got? What do we got talking here today?
We're just going to talk about what we're looking forward to, because it's coming up pretty quickly here. You know, the summer is winding down, but
it's winding down, but it's coming up.
Well, the summer's winding down. The show is coming up.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, right. But I got to apologize. I've been on an extended undercover mission, so that's why I wasn't really able to talk to you much. So.
Oh, okay.
It was a good one, though. I got to sit in this apartment and look out this rear window at people with my binoculars. So it worked out okay.
That's funny, because I saw pictures of you in Vegas, baby!
Okay, I might have been there, too. And I might have been looking in those windows, too. I'm not saying.
It was the life model decoy. That's what you you sent the life model decoy out with your wife to Vegas, and then you're just sitting looking in the apartment looking out the rear window.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, so let's you want to get going here. I don't think we don't really have any sort of brief or anything here at the beginning, because there is no new episode to talk about. So I guess
new episode. There was Marvel this summer, though. Did you see Ant-Man?
Oh yeah, I did see Ant-Man. And there was S.H.I.E.L.D. There was S.H.I.E.L.D. in
there.
There
was S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. And including our lovely friend and intelligent Agent Carter.
Agent Carter, that was surprising. I was trying to figure out then who the third guy was, like what his role was, because we had Howard Stark, we had Agent Carter, and then we had this other guy. And I think only his point in the movie was just to kind of get his face smashed into the table to show that Hank Pym meant business, you know, and had that kind of mean streak in him, and then to show up later and go, "Now I'm going to get you back," kind of thing, you know. So
yeah. Well, you know, I was trying to see if he was so much like, as an honorable streak, as an ethical streak that Hank Pym, you know, and besides, they had to use him. They couldn't use Agent Beardface because, you know, unfortunately, he didn't survive season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So they didn't want to tell any more backstory on him.
Well, and I was looking to see what I was thinking was that the other S.H.I.E.L.D. guy was somebody that we might have seen in Agent Carter, you know, in the Agent Carter series or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but, not him, though.
Yeah. But, maybe season 2. The movie was fun. I had a friend who said that it was funnier than Guardians of the Galaxy, which I have to disagree with. Not that I don't think Paul Rudd was funny, and I think there was funny stuff that happened in this film. I just felt Guardians even went a little broader, which is weird to say, I guess, but because it was a sci-fi space epic, I mean, they just went super, super large. You know, that's
I agree with you. They're both funny in different ways, but I think Guardians was a little more lighthearted, I think.
The tone, I think, might have been a little bit lighthearted. Now, I got to say, Michael Pena totally stole the show as Luis in this with his. So I was telling my friend, she told the guy over here, and they did this, and the whole telephone game that he plays and stuff like that. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Fun movie. And I'm hearing rumblings of important repercussions in future Marvel movies as well. So if you haven't caught Ant-Man, I would recommend it.
I also have been watching some of the Daredevil episodes again in anticipation of Jessica Jones, which will be coming probably November, December timeframe on Netflix, and doing some rereading of those. I don't expect to see any S.H.I.E.L.D. Crossovers with that series, you know, in the same way that we really didn't see any crossovers with Daredevil. If you guys have Netflix and you haven't had a chance to see Daredevil, you should definitely watch it. And Jessica Jones is, if they can do it like 10% of what the comic book is, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, interesting. I'll look forward to that. I did watch Daredevil. I didn't go back and watch it. So I'm spending this month, you know, catching up on Family Ties before they take it off in August. Is that wrong?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll stop that.
But, you
I'll
know, you again. Didn't hear that from me. So.
All right.
Boy.
Well, I'm ready
I have
to
no
talk
idea
a
where
bit
to go from that.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. We go straight from S.H.I.E.L.D. to S.H.I.E.L.D. That's where we go.
All right. Well, yeah, we can go to our family in the Strategic Homeland Initiative Enforcement Law Division.
What do we do, baby? All right.
So we've got a number of comic books coming out starting, I think it's going to be next week, last month of August, and then through September, celebrating the 50th anniversary of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's been, 1965 then when first issue of Strange Tales had Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Nick Fury in it. And so they kick it all off with issue number 9 of the current S.H.I.E.L.D. Ongoing series. It's going to be out on August 26th. And now I don't pick up this series regularly, but I am seriously considering buying this one issue just because it has got a lost sequence that was penciled by Jack Kirby. Now, Jack is, for those of you who don't know, he was the original artist that worked with Stan Lee to create Fantastic Four, the Avengers, Iron Man, S.H.I.E.L.D. He's created tons of characters for both Marvel and DC, did all the New Gods and the Fourth World characters over at DC, Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth, stuff like that. And he's... he passed away, I believe, in, I want to say it was like the late 90s. So the fact that there's this other sequence, which in all of the books that I've seen, at least, I don't recall seeing anything about this sequence in there. And then it's inked by Jim Steranko, who is another name that's he's a writer, artist, and probably did the quintessential run on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Comic books
so,
in the 60s.
So basically just art by legends is what you're saying.
Yeah, that supposedly hasn't been seen before, and they're kind of fitting it into the current story. So because, of course, it looks older, right, because it would have been done in the mid to late 60s, I think. So this is pretty cool, and... it's going to have the return of Dum Dum Dugan, who is a character that's not really been around in the comic books currently. It's going to have the birth of the new Howling Commandos, and I've seen some preview pages of this. This looks really kind of interesting. I'm interested to see what they do with this take. It's not what some people may consider the Howling Commandos, but it's interesting.
That's like your
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to give too much away because I think the kind of the I don't want to say what it is because I think you kind of have to read it to get the idea of what they're doing. If I were just to tell you, you might go, "Well, that sounds really stupid." And yeah, if I were to pitch you the idea, it may sound kind of stupid, but it seems like it's
well, hey, check it out. Let us know what you guys think because I'm interested to see where they go with it.
And actually, if you're in your local comic shops, I know mine over the last, I think, 2 weeks has had a little, like a giveaway poster, just a mini poster. So what, I don't know, like 11 by 15 or something like that, that has images of all of these 50th anniversary Shield comics on the backside of it. And you flip it over and it's something else on the inside. It has nothing to do with Shield. So I just, which is good. I can just display the one side of it. And then in September, we've got the five one-shots that are coming out. And there are also a couple of trade paperbacks that we've talked about previously. We've got we've got Agent Carter number one, which is obviously about Agent Carter. We've got a series called, or a one-shot called The Cavalry, featuring Melinda May. And
that
now
looks really cool.
Yeah, you had found some preview art or like pencil pages or something for this on one of the websites we were going to?
Yeah, I don't know. I think some of them were inked, but it was just, from what I understand, it tells a little bit more about her, her unwanted nickname, and just some more backstory about Agent May. So it looks cool. I kind of like the art. It's not identical to Ming-Na Wen, but it resembles her in a comic book type way.
Well, now, because Coulson doesn't look like Clark Gregg necessarily. Samuel Jackson and Nick Fury are the only ones that look alike just because of the fact that when they drew Nick Fury, they based him off Sam Jackson.
Right, but I think this is based off of Ming-Na Wen, isn't it? I mean,
well, it's the Shield, the current Shield comic, which I picked up the first issue of it and had read that. It introduces Fitz and Simmons and May and Ward to the Marvel universe, right? So, the events and stuff that are happening in the Marvel universe, which is internally known as the Marvel 616 universe, is different than the events that happen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which are the TV shows and the movies. So there will be a Melinda May character in the comic books, and she will be Asian, but she will not necessarily look like Ming-Na Wen, and her storyline may not match exactly what we've seen so far in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. You can tell that she is based off of, inspired by Ming-Na Wen. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I kind of liked, I liked the art. I thought the art was pretty good.
And so that'll be out on September 9th. These are all Wednesdays too. If for people out there that don't buy comic books, new comics come out every Wednesday. Then there on the 16th is Fury number one, a story about Nick Fury. Mockingbird number one comes out on the 23rd, and then the month ends up with Quake number one, featuring Daisy Johnson. And it'll be interesting to see if. It seems like a number of the more mainstream comics, the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man and things like that, those comics are taking some broader cues from the films and stuff that they're doing. So it'll be interesting to see if these one-shots and some of the other S.H.I.E.L.D. Comics and stuff like that start taking more ideas or... you know, things from the TV show in the same way the TV show is borrowing from the comic series right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting to see. I think that's kind of the time that we live in with the popularity of the comic book media in movies and TV. I think it's almost just natural that they would start to influence each other. I may have mentioned this to you or on the show or something, but I'm really to the point where I feel like the comic book movie is really just a comic book. I mean, they come out so frequently. It's like going to the comic book store and checking out at a comic, you know, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. I remember back in the early 90s getting my Robin comic that, the cover had a little, movement, what do you call those things?
Holographic, prismatic cover.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. And it moved. This is just like another version of that. It's just like a comic book that moves, you know. They come out so frequently, that's kind of how it feels like, which is not a bad thing. I'm not criticizing that. It's dangerous, you know, if they oversaturate it, but so I think they just naturally influence each other anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think film has always influenced comic books to some degree, and I think there are certain comic book style films. They're films that are not necessarily based on comic books that are definitely inspired about comics. My favorite one, and this is just a little bit off topic, but please bear with me for just 1 second, because it does tie back to Jack Kirby. As I mentioned, he had done a series for DC called The New Gods, and it's basically, you know, new mythology that he was creating. He was creating a whole series, a whole race of beings, and he had a backstory about how the universe was created and these gods got created, and, you know, everybody was archetypal and stuff like that. And so then, flash forward, they decided to do a Masters of the Universe movie with Dolph Lundgren. Pretty bad movie. But actually, what the director wanted to do was to make a New Gods movie. So what you do is you ignore the fact that it's called Masters of the Universe, because I don't know that they necessarily referred to Dolph Lundgren as He-Man. They might. But you can watch that movie and substitute your favorite New God characters in for the movie, and you can go, wow, you know, this film actually can kind of work. So stuff like that.
Go back and watch that.
Happens all the time. So, you know, starting now, go start buying your S.H.I.E.L.D. comics, right? You can celebrate the 50th anniversary, and at the conclusion of the release of all these comics, or actually the day before, Season 3 is going to premiere on Tuesday, September 29th, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. You can tune in for the first episode of Season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which, unfortunately, we still don't know the name of that first episode, which I find kind of weird, because all the producers for the CW shows that we do podcasts for, they're very happy to let us know what the names of episodes are and stuff like that. I think we know 4 or 5 episode names for all those shows now.
It's nice little hype. It gets people talking about it, gets them anticipating it. I love it.
What would also be cool is if Ming-Na got onto like WWE SummerSlam. Maybe she can pick
that would be pretty cool, actually.
Pick a fight with somebody. So
I would watch that.
I know you would. And then right before season 3 premieres, though, we do get some DVDs, though, correct? Or some Blu-rays, whatever people are looking for, right?
All of those, yes. yeah, on September 18th, the DVD and Blu-rays will be released. So if you want a physical copy in your hand of season 2 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you can get it. And I can run down a couple places you can get them and some prices real quick. I won't spend too much time on it. But Amazon has them, you know, of course, and you can pre-order them now. Blu-ray is $54.99. DVD is $43.99. Or if you want them just digitally, you can actually get them now on iTunes. They have varying prices too. If you want it in HD, you can get it for $39.99 in the season, or if you just want pick and choose the episodes, they're $2.99 an episode. You can also get it in standard definition for $34.99, so really just, you know, $5 cheaper. It's not really that much, or $1.99 an episode.
I guess it just depends on how big your hard drive is.
Yeah. So, If you want Agent Carter, that also comes out September 18th. Amazon has the Blu-ray for $36.99 and the DVD for $25.99. So it's quite a bit cheaper than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but there's less episodes in it. You can also get that.
It's not cheaper, like proportionally cheaper, unfortunately. Like you would think for 8 episodes instead of 22 episodes, I should be paying less than half. That's not really the way it's working, but
no, whatever. Not at all. So, you can also get that on iTunes right now too for $19.99 for HD or $2.99 an episode, just like Shield, or standard definition is $14.99, which is actually that's a really good deal. I like that. That's not too bad at all.
Yeah.
$2 an episode there. So.
Well, and unfortunately, we don't know all the extras on the set yet. We probably won't until just maybe a week or so before I didn't even know the S.H.I.E.L.D. Set could be pre-ordered until probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think. So I got that all set. So I think you and I are going to do a little review of the Blu-ray set on the next episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, just so you know, people can know what else you get, because, you know, you've probably seen the episodes. You may still have them on your DVR. It's like, well, do you want the episodes? But for me, at least, buying the full set, there's usually some behind the scenes footage. There's usually always the gag reel. They might have a Comic-Con panel or two on there, as well as cast. Commentary on various episodes, which is pretty cool. So, and that's the kind of stuff I like. Just, you know, you can watch the episode again, but this time you get to hear Chloe Bennett talk about, you know, how she did the fight scene or something like that. So,
yeah, those are really fun to watch, especially if you like the inside information and how it's made, things like that.
And then I believe we had reported this on our last show. Our last show was before Comic-Con, so maybe we were only talking about this on our Facebook page. But there was a dub smash war between the cast of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the cast of Agent Carter. And I don't know how you called it. I feel that Agent Carter got the upper hand in the final video.
Yeah, it was pretty close, though.
It was really close up. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. looked like they had nailed it hands down, because they got the whole cast doing, I think it was Bohemian Rhapsody. And then I think it was Agent Carter, Haley Atwell, and the guy that plays Jarvis. What were they doing? Under Pressure or something like that?
I can't remember all the songs.
Or it was... No, maybe it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was doing Under Pressure. And then, anyway, Agent Carter's crew came back, and they ripped up a picture of Captain America, but then they had the real Captain America there with them. Chris, I'm going to get this. Chris Evans? There's so many Chris's in the Marvel Universe. That's why I have to think about that. Yeah, Chris Evans helped them finish it up. So, anyway... Dub Smash War is going to return. If you are listening to this episode live, or not live, but on the day of release here, August 21st, Clark Gregg promises he'll have some more information about reigniting the Dub Smash War for charity. So we'll get some more information about that. So that should be pretty cool. All right. Well, you want to talk about some of the... elements for season three that have been teased, and, you know, little snippets that the cast have revealed in different interviews that they've been on in the last little bit here.
Yeah, I think Chloe Bennett has probably let loose most of the information from the cast, and it's been some pretty good stuff that we can speculate about.
Well, actually, how about this? Before we get into doing, because I've only got one little piece here for Agent Carter, so let me take care of that business first.
Okay.
So we do know that Agent Carter is coming back for a second season, assuming it's going to be a mid-season replacement like it was before. So, you know, starting in December through January, it's going to be, I think they said 10 episodes instead of 8. But it may mean that it's still 8 weeks and it's just got a 2-hour intro or 2-hour first episode and a 2-hour last episode. She's going to be out in California, as we've mentioned before, and the producers are teasing a new female villain for her. Not necessarily a villain that we would normally find in that time frame in the Marvel Universe, but they have picked a character called Madame Mask, who most recently, I think, has been in the was in the previous Hawkeye series fighting the female Hawkeye, Kate Barton. It's Clint Barton and Kate, whatever her name is. Sorry, Hawkeye fans. But Madame Mask actually was living out in L.A., and it's just a character in a jumpsuit with a gold mask, kind of like Doctor Doom. And depending on the origin, sometimes she's disfigured underneath, sometimes she's not. She's just really vain. The producers have promised that will be a really strong female villain to fight this really strong female lead that they have for the show. So sounds like that will be really interesting. I'm really excited to see what they do, especially in probably, I think it's like the late 40s out in Los Angeles, that it's like Rocketeer kind of time there. So that's there's a lot of room to do, you know, some really great cinematography and stuff like that.
Rocketeer time. I like how you base eras on movies. I like that. That's good.
Oh yeah. Oh totally. I mean, I watch movies all the time. It's like, you know, you can go to RoboCop Detroit now. You know, so that's exactly what Detroit looks like now.
Oh, how sad.
I know. Sorry, Detroit. all right. So, we found a list of 16 teases for season 3 from a website called zaptoit.com. So, kind of just wanted to run down this. Right now, at least at the time that we're recording this, I found that this is probably the best location for, they've pulled in information from a variety of different sources and talked to Chloe Bennett, Clark Gregg, Elizabeth Henstridge, and Luke Mitchell at this ABC summer TV press tour party. And they got a lot of information out because, I mean, all these characters have, or all these actors are playing characters that have huge changes. You got Chloe Bennett, who's, you know, taking on this new role on the team. Clark Gregg is the leader, but he's got a new appendage to worry about. Elizabeth Henstridge, well, luckily she's going to be back, right? We don't know what's really going on with her. And then Luke Mitchell as Lincoln, you know, he's kind of a man without a country right now. So a lot of changes coming up. So the first thing that they tell us is there's going to be a large jump in time, which is, I don't know, for you, for me, it's not that surprising because this is, we're kind of used to this on like the Arrow and the Flash TV series. So
yeah, I agree with you, although I'm kind of surprised it's a big time jump, but just because of the way it ended with Simmons, especially.
Because it feels like it ends on a cliffhanger, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing that Flash did, right? I mean, because Flash ended on this huge cliffhanger, and you expect the next thing that happens to be, you know, the next thing, you know, the next thing you see will be immediately following that, and it's a bold move for them to jump however long, I don't know, 4 or 5 months or whatever they're planning to do here.
Mm-hmm. This one I think will probably work well based on some of the stuff we're going to talk about.
Okay.
I think the time jump, just because of, well, I'll talk about it. Some of my
ideas.
Okay,
so we'll kind of come back to
jump.
That.
Yeah.
As part of the stuff. Okay. So we know that Henry Simmons is coming back, Mac, and that Daisy and Mac are going to be considered the new dynamic duo, which that excites me to no end. The way that they ended things with Mac last season where, you know, he hates alien technology. So what does Coulson do? He puts him in charge of alien technology because he is the most wary person of all this stuff. And the chemistry that he and that Sky have together, or Daisy. See, I'm going to have to start calling her a new name.
Did you read that the people that work in the production facilities, you know, the writers and things, if they call her Sky, they have to put a dollar in a jar.
Yeah, they've got a lot of money in there too.
yeah,
that's actually one of the that's one of the items they've got coming up here.
Look, I
we're jumping ahead now.
I'm so sorry.
But it's an interesting mix, right? Because I mean, you know, so you've got Mac. He's kind of this gentle giant kind of guy, and you've got Daisy, who has, you know, these amazing, incredible powers. But they have a really, the actors at least have a really good chemistry with each other, and I will be really interested to see them. I'd like to see them do like a mission together, kind of like the mission that Ward and Fitz did, like back in season one, like episode 4 or 5 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, yeah. Now here's this already one of those things that I think the time jump will work pretty well with this, because these two could already be fairly close and have done things together that we didn't see because of that time jump, you know? And, so I think that's one of the reasons I think that, that hop forward will work pretty well.
Mm, yeah, definitely. So you can just kind of have these new, dynamics, already exactly. in place for these characters. So, okay. So the, third thing that they are teasing us with here, it says that Simmons' destination surprised the cast. So it says here that Henstridge and Bennett already know what's happened to Jenna Simmons, and neither of them expected Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to go in this direction. Quote, it's much bigger than I thought it would be. What it is, I thought about it and was like, oh, how would they do that? How would they film that? I just dismissed everything in the realm of this idea, Henstridge explains. It's very cool. So what are they doing? Do you think that they've gone this far, like that they didn't expect to have happen?
Wow. I really don't know. I mean, and maybe I'm taking her too literally, you know, I mean, just because, you know, she said, how would they film that? So, you know, I don't know. I have no idea where they could some other, you know, my thoughts go to some other dimension or, you know, mm-hmm. like there's some Ant-Man type stuff, you know, that occurred to me right. after I saw that movie. And, yeah, I mean, just, she's so excited about how, unexpected it was that now my brain is not processing what it could possibly be. So I hope I'm not disappointed.
I'm thinking it's another dimension or maybe another location, another, you know, location for the Inhumans or something like that. I think we had, one of us had speculated about the fact that, you know, maybe she's going to have powers when she comes out of mm-hmm. this. So guess we'll...
I think that's a very strong possibility.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out relatively soon, because the next thing that they tell us is that it won't take us too long to find out where she is. They say that, you know, maybe by they don't say what episode Simmons, you know, appears in, whether it's the first or the second episode, but that they were shooting the second episode when they were or had just shot the second episode when they were being interviewed here. And they and Henstridge says, you know, it'll be pretty soon that we'll find out what's going on. So it's not one of those things where they're going to try to tease out the fact that she's been missing, you know, because it will have, again, we're going back to that time jump, will have already been yep. 5 or 6 months out or something like that. So people obviously will have realized right away that she's gone and having to figure out, you know, what's going on with her.
And there, I think that will work great because, like you said, it was a cliffhanger. So for us, we can find out really fast, but it won't feel like it's too easy. It won't feel like they got it done too fast because there's all this time that has gone on between when it happened. So
I hope so. I mean, you know, you can intellectualize that and say, oh, yeah, but, you know, even though we found out 10 minutes into the episode or whatever it ends up being, right, you know, that still may feel like a cheat. And then you can go, well, but, you know, they've been looking for over 6 months. It's like, yeah, but... You know, because they have to remind us of what happened. So I'm sure they'll do one of those previously on. Yeah, where they kind of – it'll be interesting to see how they recap the entire season. And they probably won't. They'll probably just recap the last arc, I think, probably with Lincoln and Jiaying and
– It's like the consequences of what happened. You know, that's what they'll – connect. I mean, the stuff that they beat and they won, they'll kind of leave that out there, you know, but talking about Coulson's arm and Simmons. And so that's what I think.
Well, we'll also be getting a new villain on the show named Lash. And now I
got a giant mascara thing. Is that how that?
I Lash. See, now I'm familiar with a villain called Whiplash, which is sort of the villain that was in Iron Man 2 that Mickey Rourke played. He was kind of a hybrid villain between a character called Whiplash and the Crimson Dynamo, I think. But I'm not completely familiar about this, but it's a guy, and they seem to be, you know, the cast seems to be very excited about what this particular villain's going to do, which means that, you know, he's probably going to have some kind of superpowers, which is cool because you now have a main character on the show that has superpowers. So you kind of need to up the stakes. So in my opinion, I think that's what's going to be great about season 3 is that we're going to get, you know, we've been building to this. We're going to get more superpowers and things going on. We've gotten a little bit of it in each season, you know, with Deathlok and the Absorbing Man and Mr. Hyde last season and stuff like that. So I think they'll just kind of take this to the next level. Which,
well, Lash is a pretty cool looking character in the comics. He's you know, big and muscular, which I guess is doesn't really narrow it down any, but he's got these weird kind of his hair is looks kind of like this weird spiky thing, which reminded me of oh my gosh, how could I forget her name? Girl in the flower dress. my head.
Oh jeez.
Okay, Raina. Anyway.
Raina.
So, sorry guys, sorry. I was looking at pictures of Lash but it kind of reminds me of that. It sweeps back and they look like these, you know, these quills or something, and he does stuff with energy and stuff. So anyway, he's an Inhuman, or at least I think he's gonna be an Inhuman.
Yeah, he is an Inhuman. Okay, yeah. Now that I'm looking at his picture, this guy, he was created for the new series called Inhuman, that was part of the all new, all different Marvel. And yeah, he's pretty cool. He teleports and stuff like this, and he's got this energy disruption power. So that'll be pretty interesting to see what's going on with him. And if they do the makeup, he will kind of end up looking like Raina if they do makeup on him and stuff, you know. But he's totally big burly dude, so that'll be pretty cool. They also tease us with saying that episode number 2 of the season is going to be big, saying it's the biggest episode they've ever done. A lot of CGI, a lot of what makes S.H.I.E.L.D. so big, but at the same time, character dynamics have changed. So, big action sequence, I'm guessing. A lot of CGI, you know, kind of fight.
Yeah, I'm going to say a lot of Quake stuff in this episode. That's my guess.
Maybe kind of her first mission by herself, going off and getting into some trouble.
Yeah, I can see that.
So that'll be pretty cool. And it sounds like, just in general, because they've been talking and teasing about the whole Secret Warriors aspect of the next season, with Daisy leading the team and having to kind of go out and find people to join it, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be more focused on that, which means that there's going to be less focus on Hydra. Doesn't mean that Brett Dalton's not going to be around and that Hydra's not going to have stuff happening, but they're probably going to be splitting the storylines, I would guess, because we're definitely going to have some characters heading towards Inhuman elements, right, with Daisy and all the stuff that she's doing. But we're still probably going to have characters like Mockingbird and oh my gosh, what's her husband's name? Ex-husband's name? Nick Blood's character?
Yes.
Anyway. So they're going to be doing continuing.
We clearly need to go back and review
spy stuff. You know, it's funny because you don't watch the show for a while, and all of a sudden, all these characters just disappear from your head. But they'll be continuing to do some spy stuff, I would assume, and because we know that Ward is starting to rebuild Hydra, at least American. Well, there's not too much Hydra left. I mean, there was a very small Hydra group in Ant-Man. They're not very well organized anymore, and obviously looking for whatever tech they can get their hands on. So,
yeah, they're struggling a little bit.
And let's see, the number 8 on their list is that Daisy's getting a new wardrobe. You may have already heard about this if you follow us or any of the actors from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Twitter or Instagram. Chloe Bennett got a bunch of her hair hacked off. So she's kind of wearing it's not quite a bob. I don't know what you call it. It's a shorter haircut. Not as short as the character Quake has in the comics, but a nice looking haircut. And she's going to be getting a new costume. So I'm assuming it's going to feature the gauntlets like she's had, you know, to some degree.
Yeah, so. I think it's going to be pretty cool with the kind of the tighter jumpsuit kind of look, you know, from the comics. I am a little bit disappointed that they didn't chop the hair. And you know, I mean, I know these are real life decisions and things like that, but I don't think it made enough difference to make her look more like Quake, is what I'm saying. I think it was not a very good compromise. I think it should have gone shorter.
I think she got about half of it off. I mean, it looks pretty good. So,
I don't think it looks bad. I don't think it looks. I don't think it was that big of a transition. Honestly, I mean, restyle it or something, or go all the way.
Yeah, you don't want to come back in the show and go, wait, who's this girl? Who is this person on the show? Why do we care about her? Oh, wait a second.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe they can cut it shorter at the break or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Or she gets all burned off in a fire or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It's singed a little bit.
They also are teasing us that saying that the viewers will see a new side to Lincoln. So he's going to be hanging out. And they say that even though Lincoln is figuring out where he stands in the world, that doesn't mean he's on a solo storyline. I think he's definitely on his own journey, but if he were interacting with anyone, he'd be on a different show. They're saying a lot of stuff here, but they're not really telling us what to look for. It was kind of left. I feel that Lincoln, is like I said at the beginning of the show, he's kind of a man without a country, right? He's no longer really with the tribe of Inhumans that he was with. So he's got to kind of find a new place for himself here. And he, you know, obviously doesn't really fit in with normal humans. I mean, he can pass for human, but I'm sure there's going to be a number of complications, especially with Mac around too, just because I feel like there's going to be some friction between the two of them.
Yeah, I agree with that. I honestly think that was one of the more underutilized characters from last season. Had some potential, but because he's still around, it could have set up what could go in a good direction. I'm guessing he's going to be an antagonist. I think they're going to have to deal with some bad stuff with him. Hmm. Otherwise, he's not as interesting of a character.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, number 10 here on their list is Coulson and Daisy's relationship is more equal, which is pretty cool. They've obviously in the last third of season 2, I think they were really building Chloe Bennett's character up to that level. And, you know, obviously there was this kind of transition, this handoff of knowledge and information and responsibility at the end of last season. I think that's going to be great. It'll allow for Daisy to be kind of running her own missions, you know, and Coulson taking the role that he's been needing to take, which is really that leadership mentor role, instead of, you know, always running out in the field and stuff like that, allowing, you know, other people to do some of the work while he stays back at base and, you know, keeps everything running.
Mm-hmm. And this is kind of interesting. I'd like to see where they go with it with you know, Daisy being a little more equal to him. But and you know, I don't know that it'll be equal. I don't know that equal is a very good description.
Equal from this doesn't article, doesn't necessarily mean equal.
Right, right. Yeah, but more. I don't know. You know, together she's got more responsibilities, more things that he trusts her for, things like that. That I can see. Which I think, you know, if you read the Secret Warriors comics, does align pretty well with that character, and not Coulson, but Nick Fury.
Right.
Because he puts a lot of trust in Daisy and puts her in charge of a lot of really, really important things and counts on her to do things that he needs her to do, even though he's not always forthcoming with her about everything.
Right. I mean, he knows that she is capable of more than she believes she's capable of, at least in the comic book. And puts her in situations that, you know, he's pretty sure that she'll be able to figure a way out of, though at the time it seems pretty daunting, you know, and of course having her, and, you know, she then has to figure out ways to overcome, you know, whatever the obstacles are to grow as a character and everything like that. So,
right.
I think there's, and I, you know, it's not that they're following the comic books. To date, they haven't really been following the comic books closely. It's just more of a general, you know, there are these characters and there are these situations, and they are taking elements from those and mixing it in with elements that they want to put in the show and putting it all together. So,
you know, they're good story elements that worked well in this, in the comic book story. And these are inspired by, and, you know, they come from the comics. That's their origin. So I like that they're using these little bits and pieces, and I'm okay that they don't match a storyline completely or the characters completely.
And as I've talked about on our podcast previously, I mean, I don't want them to tell, you know, the story from, you know, Strange Tales 156. Just because I know what happens. I've read that story. I like when they take elements and you go, oh, so they're doing this, and then, you know, that gives you ideas like, well, okay, maybe I wonder why they're going to do this, because, you know, the characters don't react or talk the same way as the characters in the comics. And, you know, it's fun to put in those. And it's also fun to have those little teases in there. It's like, oh, yeah, this is from that comic book. But if you haven't read the comic books, you won't know. That doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter, you know, because it should be about the story that they're putting up on screen right now with these characters, not trying to replicate something that worked okay as a comic book, you know, 40, 50 years ago or something like that. So,
right.
Okay. Number 11 is, Clark Gregg seems to be having trouble with Coulson's robotic arm. So he says, that it's just a big pain in his butt. And it's really hard to figure out how to use the prosthetic they've got. So it sounds like there's an actual physical prop that he's got that he's working with that they probably will use, so they don't have to be doing special effects every week, which I could see that becoming more of a problem. So I'm thinking it's going to be, you know, kind of a Winter Soldier looking hand, you know, kind of a metal. It's going to look like a hand. It's just going to be metal, you know.
They've got that technology, or at the very least, they've got Deathlok technology. I hope they give him something more than, like, you know, a claw or something.
Well, now that you mentioned Deathlok technology, how cool would that be? You got Coulson there, and, you know, and he just does something, and his fingers split apart, and a little missile comes up.
Yeah, I mean, why not? They've got, I guess, okay, all right. Now, to be fair, that was before S.H.I.E.L.D. had been, you know, taken down by Hydra and dismantled and everything. So, you know, I mean, I understand that. But I do hope they give him something more than just, you know, like a little hook or something.
I don't know. I'm sure he could rock a hook.
Oh, that's all I'm saying. So. Yeah, he'd use it.
They mention here that for number 12, Daisy isn't torn between S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Inhumans, but Lincoln is. So that's pretty much aligning with what we saw at the end of last season with you know, Daisy had to make a choice between S.H.I.E.L.D., her loyalty to S.H.I.E.L.D., and her loyalty to her family and to her race, or I guess, I don't know, are Inhumans a race, would you consider? I don't know, whatever they are, you know.
Sure.
This tribe. And, you know, hands down, she came down on the side of S.H.I.E.L.D. and seems to be committed to that, but as we talked about earlier, you know, Lincoln's not so sure that this is exactly where he needs to be. He's not really going to be fitting in. So they're going to be doing some different things with the character. And like you said, at some point he may become an antagonist for a little while during the season as they work through this.
Yeah, we'll see. I hope they use, like I said, I hope they use Lincoln a little bit more interestingly.
Okay. Yep. We've got a new actress coming on to the show, Constance Zimmer, who will be a new antagonist with an interest in Inhumans, not an Inhuman, but an interest in Inhumans, who will be facing off against Director Coulson. So they're going to kind of be going head to head. She's the head of a mysterious new government agency that will cross paths with S.H.I.E.L.D. as both seek out new Inhumans following the events from last season. And they say that, you know, she's not necessarily a doppelganger, but they've got a lot of common ground between herself and Coulson. So she could be an ex-S.H.I.E.L.D. person, or she could be somebody, you know, in the military or CIA or, you know, something like that. So it, you know, there's another antagonist there. So now we've got, you know, potentially Lincoln, we've got Ward with Hydra. We've got Constance Zimmer and her new character here. It's great that they're setting up all these little groups, you know, that there's just not one bad guy. Because you don't want to get to that point where it's like, all right, well, we've got to fight Hydra again this week, you know? So
yeah,
there are all these little, elements that they can bring together and, it's great because, you know, then maybe you get two factions talking to each other and that's the last thing you know, want. Like, you wouldn't want Ward to be able to start teaming up with, you know, a bad Inhuman or something like that that shows up on the show and, you know, things could turn ugly real quick. And that's always fun television, I think, when they do stuff like that. Let's see, number 14 here, they say that Elizabeth Henstridge says that she was really ready for Fitzsimmons to get together. She was really happy with that, and there was a lot of build up to it, and so she was pleased that happened. And then, of course,
it didn't.
Yeah. So, but maybe you know, maybe they'll be able to pursue and develop that a little bit more now that you know, Fitz is kind of recovered from his events from the season one finale. Now we just have to get Simmons to recover from her events from the season two finale, and maybe we can get a little more with these characters together, because
but that by is season one thing. Four.
Yeah. Well, I missed their interplay this last season, and I hope that it doesn't take 22 hours to get to that point again. I hope that they can, you know, move these characters along, even if it's not romantic. I just want to see interaction between these two characters. That they've got a, you know, they've been friends for a long time. They've got great chemistry and banter between each other. It's a really good pairing of characters that they've got there.
Yeah, I agree. It's fun. It's fun, and we missed out on a little bit of that. And you don't want it, you know, you don't want it too goofy, but it's hard to watch too. Happy-go-lucky kind of fun characters take these deep, I was going to say deep dives, but that almost seems kind of rude based on what happened to them. But you know, I'd like to see a little bit of that humor creep back in there. So I guess it depends on where she went.
Yeah. Maybe she went to maybe the Inhumans really are on the moon. Maybe she got transported to the moon. I would love it if they brought a little bit of that element into it at this point, but I would have to imagine they're saving that for closer towards the Inhumans film if they end up doing that element of the Inhuman storyline. So
maybe, like she said, you know, she was surprised they brought that into it. So we'll see.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Well, I guess we'll see here in just about a month. So as you alluded to earlier, this is number 15 on their list. There really is a Sky dollar box in the writer's room. And so the writer of the article was saying that Chloe Bennett and Elizabeth Henstridge actually slipped up during their interviews here, but they said the writers actually have a box in the writing room, and half of it is a picture of daisies and half of it is a picture of the sky. And whenever one of them refers to Bennett's character as Sky, when they're pitching stories, they have to put a dollar in, and they've got like $200 in the box now. But, you know, it's understandable, right? I mean, you've spent 2 years, more than 2 years, because your pre-development time, you know, talking about this character called Sky. And it's not that they've been going, well, she's Daisy, because they've been writing a character called Sky. And they might, you know that in reality that they're going to turn this character into Daisy Johnson at some point. But up until that point, she's Sky. So it's just like when your friend changes their name for whatever reason and they want to be called something
else.
Yeah,
just else. Like that. That's.
Did you have those friends? Like I had a couple. There were probably two people I knew in high school where they were like, you know, all of a sudden they go, oh, I want to be called something else today. Like they want to use their middle name instead of their first name or something.
My son actually did that. So, and I couldn't get that either. I never even tried, actually. I refused. So, I see what you're saying. Yeah. When they start using a different name, but
put a dollar in the box, Josh.
There's a lot of dollars in that box, I'm sure.
And then, this final, element that they bring up in this article at zap2it.com is not so much about season three as about an amazing scene in season two. It says Bennett actually broke her arm filming that single take fight scene, which I had not heard before. Had you heard anything about that?
No.
So she, let me just read this quote here. It says, this is Chloe Bennett talking. She says, we rehearsed on the weekend on our own time, and we put in the hours not getting paid just to do it for fun, and it paid off, I think. I did break my arm during that take on camera, she admits. Then I had to finish the season with a broken arm and do all the rest of the fight sequences with a broken arm. That was tough. I hid it by just dealing with it, she continues with a laugh. I couldn't wear a cast. I had two hairline fractures in my elbow. I had to have a cast to take on and put off. The hardest one was when I fought May. In Afterlife, I have a fight with May in one of the last episodes, and that one was really difficult because my arm was hurting. My arm was really broken then, and I'm stubborn enough not to let my stunt double do it as much as she should have.
Wow.
That's,
she's a trooper.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch that. I mean, that's real commitment to your art. I mean, it also is relatively stupid. Right. I mean, because, you know, you've got hairline. I mean, it's a hairline fracture. It hurts. You know, pain is your body's way of telling you that something's wrong. And, you know, you could seriously injure yourself so that you can't, you know, use your arm as much as. That's a dad talking right there, I guess. I don't know. So
yeah.
You got to take better care of yourself.
Yeah, so. Well, it was, those are those things when you hear, you know, something happened on set, but you never noticed it in the movie, you always like to go back and check those things out. But, you know, it's like Harrison Ford's broken leg or J.J. Abrams' broken back, see? But
J.J. broke his back?
Yeah, helping Harrison Ford. Did you not hear that?
No, I knew Ford broke his leg.
Yeah, and that at the same time he was helping.
Oh, because he was trying to lift the piece of the set off of him.
He had hid that. I think he's told everyone that on John Stewart or something. But anyway, so yeah, I want to go back and check that out too, because that was I remember us talking about that fight scene. That was a really good one too. So
yeah, the owner of my comic store didn't like it too much. He thought it was a little too first person video game ish. Like,
yeah, they don't do it all the time. I liked it,
but it was probably my new favorite fight scene on there after May fighting herself, where she slams her double down into the coffee table. That still is pretty amazing. So
they've had some good ones in the first two seasons. I
I can think of a few off the top of my head, but
yeah. All right, and then you found a little bit more information about a character that we haven't talked about really much yet, about Bobby Mockingbird's character here.
Yeah, I just I saw a little thing on a website called China Topics, I think is what it was. But so in this season, she's going to be back, and she's going to be dealing with a lot of the stuff that happened to her in the finale. And it says she's going to have to, you know, cope with these experiences. She had unable to use one of her knees. So, you know, I know she had a lot of injuries, mm-hmm. but she did a pretty good job on Ward even when she was hurt. But,
yeah.
And also missing part of her lung. So, yeah.
I still will argue that the bullet went somewhere else, but that's fine. They can say it went through her lung. Okay.
She's got different lungs. They're in different places. Scooch over there. Anyway. That's real life right there, you know. I mean, and you really would have to recover from a trauma, and it would take you quite a while. So another good part of the storyline that will, benefit from having that big time jump.
So with all the stuff that we've talked about now, what other thing that maybe we haven't touched on are you looking forward to have them doing in this season? Is there something else that, you know, where you've been reading an article this summer or something like that, and you look at it and you go, yeah, that's cool, but it would be nice if what?
Yeah. Well, and I could probably say have said this when we were looking forward to this season too, but, you know, we heard quite a bit about Fitz and Simmons and Mac and, I almost said Sky, Daisy, but really not very much at all about Coulson. You know, he's going to have trouble with his arm. But ultimately, this really is a show that is based, at least originally, around the character of Phil Coulson. That was the whole idea behind it, you know, mm-hmm. and having him as kind of the main hero. And they've broadened the character since then, and that's great. So I'd like to see much more about Coulson. I hope he is in it and utilized quite a bit in this season.
You don't think that they've come to a point where they've kind of told Coulson's story? Because we've gotten a lot of exposition and closure on elements of Coulson's story. And that he's kind of going to be handing off some of his story time to Daisy for her to grow on the show.
Do I think that's going to happen? Yeah, that is what I think is going to happen. Okay. And let me clarify what I want. I want Agent Coulson.
Okay.
I want some cool fight scenes. I want some witty banter. I want the Coulson that we all loved and wanted on this show in the first place, which we've gotten here and there, not nearly as much as I was hoping when it first started. But they could do that now. You know, I want to see his sly remarks, you know, when people say things to him, and, you know, now he's the boss, and I want to see every once in a while, I want to see him kicking butt, even with that mechanical arm that he has.
Okay.
So that's the kind of stuff that I would love to see. And also, they don't mention too much about Ward. And, you know, as we have mentioned, he has become a very interesting character now that he is extraordinarily evil and cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So those are the two characters that I think I enjoy watching on this show quite a bit. I want to see Mac and but we talked about him, and I think he's going to be on there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I
want to see Hunter, Mac, and Fitz either doing like a poker game or having a drinking contest or something like that. Just some like buddy time, kind of like in Star Trek: The Next Generation, where they would have the recurring poker game with Geordi and Data and Riker.
Yes.
That would just happen, you know, every few episodes or something like that, just to give the characters a chance to talk about stuff that's not necessarily directly related to the episode, but to engage in some banter between themselves to, you know, broaden the characters and stuff like that.
Well, and it doesn't just – it also moves the story. You know, that's often a transition in a storyline that they're doing or in a story in an episode. They can use that stuff to kind of move the story along a little faster because they're sitting there and discussing whatever, and they kind of – they can jump over some key things. So,
yeah, and but those three had just such good chemistry in this last season that it would be a shame to waste – opportunities like that, especially if they're all at the base. And I guess it depends on what base they're going to be at this time. They kind of have the first season was all about them being on the bus for the most part. And then the second season was all about them having this old SHIELD base that had once belonged to Agent Carter's folks and stuff like that. And so I'll be interested to see what they plan to do for season three here. It's usually just build new sets and stuff like that, I think, is
yeah,
because they get a new budget, so why not spice stuff up? Maybe they'll have a revised bus or something like that.
I would love to see that. I would love to. They need one anyway. There was a lot of damage, so
yeah. With the time jump, I'm sure you know it'll be like they'll either. You know, moved into a new place or they'll have new equipment, you know, because they'll have had the time to rebuild and or procure, you know, whatever it is they need to.
Right.
And also, I don't see any specific fallout from Ant-Man factoring into the show at the beginning of the season in the same way that, like, Captain America Winter Soldier did or even potentially Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I agree with that. I didn't really see anything that would make too much of a difference.
I think it'll just be season will again be kind of be building up towards Captain America Civil War, which will be out next May. So again, kind of like with Age of Ultron, I think it'll kind of lead up to that, and we'll get some a little bit of fallout from those elements, I guess. You know, around that time. So, all right. Well. I think that kind of takes care of the majority of news. Like I said, there wasn't a lot of elements, so we want to do a little more speculation here at this point. So, but if hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to the show, and we will be back before too long. It won't be as long between now and the next episode. So look for us. I think probably the week before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back, I think we'll probably have our DVD review then, and then we'll be joining you for season three. So it was good talking to you again, Josh.
It was great talking to you too. So we hope you guys enjoyed listening to us talk. And if you did, hey, give us some feedback on iTunes. I'd really love to see that now. Summer is wrapping up and you guys could help us out there. Also, if you want to contact us, talk to us sometime before the next show, that'd be awesome too. Send us an email. shield@randomchatter.com or you can go over to Twitter and see what's available there. Leave us things. I like when people tweet to us about things they've heard because we miss things sometimes. So at Agents Podcast is where we are on Twitter, or go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/agentspodcast.
You can also check out the other shows that Josh and I podcast about: Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. We actually had the voice of Gorilla Grodd from this last season of The Flash on our most recent summer special over there. So check that out at randomchatter.com. All shows are also available in iTunes and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.